Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Matthew chapter 21, please. Matthew chapter 21, we're taking a detour. For the last several weeks, we have been in the book of 1 Samuel, and we have discussed the life of Saul. And then for 3 weeks, we discussed the life of Jonathan. My plans were to discuss the life of David. I've already got some ideas and thoughts of how I want to go about that. But the Lord has taken us in a different direction this morning, and I want to be obedient to His will. And so I'm looking forward to what God has for us this morning. We're going to be reading Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we're going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at some wonderful truths that we learn from God selecting donkeys for His triumphant entry. Look at this, Matthew chapter 21. Why did I say Matthew chapter 21? Oh, well, there's a 2 before 21. It's 2-1-1. I apologize. Must be the lighting up here. Or my reading ability. But look at this. We're going to see something. Why did God choose donkeys for His triumphal entry? I mean, if I were going to choose an animal, I'd probably chosen a white horse, right? Powerful, good-looking horse. He chose donkeys. There's a reason for it. I think there's some interesting things here that you'll see. And when they drew nigh, Matthew 21, verse number 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them. Bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon, and brought the ass and the colt, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? This morning we're going to be looking at 3 lessons from 2 donkeys. 3 lessons from 2 donkeys. Lesson number 1, I want us to look at the lesson of redemption. The redeemed. Jesus tells his disciples, go and get me a donkey and the donkey's newborn colt. This was important. Some believe that the donkey would represent the Jewish nation, and the colt might represent the Gentile nation. I suppose that it's possible if you study it out, it could be that. But I want to look at it just a little differently this morning. The colt shows some great importance. The first thing that I want you to note about that is that the colt was alive. The colt was alive. What does that have to do with anything? Why is that important? And how does that represent redemption? I'm glad you asked. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 is going to reveal something that is so important. Now, we do see in this passage of Scripture in Matthew that the reason that Jesus was riding a donkey is because he came, they were rejoicing him as a king, but he was coming as a servant. because he had something he had to do. Now, when he does come back, he's coming back on a horse. He's going to come back on a horse, the second coming of Christ. He'll be riding a white horse, and we that are with him shall be brought back with him at that particular time. That'll set up his millennial reign, and that's at least, from right now, at least 7 years, and it could be a lot longer than that. We don't know exactly. But I want you to see Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse number 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. Did you know that the rule was that if you had a donkey and the donkey had a colt, you had one of two options. You could redeem that colt with a spotless lamb, or you could kill that colt because it belonged to God. It was the first. It was the first fruit. It was the first fruit. And so when I read this passage of Scripture and I noticed that this colt was still alive, guess what that meant? The owner of this colt had to redeem this donkey. There was a lamb that had to be slain for this colt. Have you ever wondered why God said bring the donkey and bring the donkey's baby with you? Why is it even mentioning this colt that nobody had ever sat on? I want you to know that it represents the redeemed. This little colt represents the redeemed because this colt had been bought back. This colt had been redeemed. This colt was born, and the owner said, I will sacrifice a lamb so that I may keep this colt. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. So Jesus is using a symbol of redemption to do what he's going to do for us, and that is to redeem us. Now, you know the word redeemed. If you don't know the word redeemed simply means to buy back. I tell a story about a little wooden boat. The little boy made the boat, and the boy loses the boat, and he finds the boat in the store, and he buys the boat back. He walks home with that little boat, and he says, little boat, you were once mine because I made you, but little boat, you're now mine because I have bought you back. Hey, we were all Jesus Christ when he created us. He created Adam and Eve. Did you know that only life can be created by God? God is the one that creates. Man can make, man can modify, man can build, but man cannot create. They can take substance from substance and put it together and make something, but they cannot take something from nothing and create. Only God can create. And I want you to know that God created the human race. On the sixth day, he made Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Well, what about the dust? Who created the dust? God created the dust. God created us. We were once his because of creation. But sin came. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, they sinned. Did you know that Jesus, God, always provided the answer? Always provided the answer before the questions were ever asked? For example, he created the, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 4 days later, he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. He provided the answer to where he was going to put the sun, moon, and stars before he ever created the sun, moon, and star. He provided the answer where he was going to put the grass and the trees before he ever built the grass and the trees. God always provides the answer. He created the waters before he created the fish. He always provides the answer before he provides the question. So the question is, what came first, Christ crucified or your sin? Oh, but that's not what the Bible tells us. From the beginning, from the foundation of the earth, he redeemed us before time itself. It's powerful truth. It's in the Scripture. I want you to know that Jesus provided the answer. for you and for me? Was it God's will that man sinned? It was his permissive will, but not his perfect will. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Guess what? You and I would have sinned too. That's why we're sinners. Nobody was going to be exempt from that. Adam and Eve sinned, and death came upon all of us. We all died that day. You say, well, I wasn't even born. I know, I wasn't either. Ruth, she was close. Because she'll be 80 on Saturday. The 22nd is her birthday party. But you know, Jesus provided the answer for that sin. He was the answer. We were once Jesus's because he created us, but I want you to know we're Jesus's now because he bought us back. We've been redeemed. He paid the price. He didn't pay the price for your sins that you he didn't pay the price for your sin if you get saved. He paid for the price of sin whether you're saved or not. It's been paid in full. God's wrath has been appeased. And I want you to see that this donkey represents the redeemed. Go get me that colt. And if you study Exodus 13:13, you understand that colt had to be redeemed. There was a little lamb that had to die so that that colt could live. And I want you to know that there had to be a lamb to die so that you and I could live. So Jesus is redeemed, redeeming us all. My friend, I want you to know that over 2,000 years ago, Christ redeemed you and me. We should have died. We should have gone to a godless hell. We should be separated from God forever. Because of our unworthiness, our unrighteousness, we should never be able to see the glories of heaven. We, like the poor baby donkey, should not be usable by the king. We are weak. We are of little worth. Just like that little donkey, our strength is not at its fullest. But thanks be unto God, for Romans 5:6 tells us, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If you're here today or listening by the means, Jesus redeemed you. He, the lamb that sat upon the donkey that was redeemed by a lamb that represented the lamb that was sitting on a donkey. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that Jesus saves. The donkey shows redemption, but it also shows freedom. Because this donkey was all tied up, and Jesus told the disciples to release it. So let's look at the significance of being released. The donkey was redeemed, and I want you to see that the donkey was released. When you and I are dead to the world, we're trapped to the world. We're bound. We're prisoners. Some think that being an atheist or anti-God is where true freedom lies. If I don't have to answer to a supreme being, then I can do whatever I want and not feel guilty for what I've done. But I want you to know that's the farthest thing from the truth. Teenagers, sometimes even we adults alike, we think that the world has so much to offer, but that isn't true. We look at the world and we think, man, they have so much. They're enjoying so much. They're able to do so much, but truly, they are like that donkey that is tied up to the post. It can do as much as that little rope will allow it to do. But see, Christ wants you to know that you've been redeemed and you can be set free. He tells the disciples to loose them and bring them to Jesus. Why? Because in this illustration, those donkeys that have been redeemed are set free. They're free, but they don't even know it. They're still tied up to a post. That little donkey had been redeemed. Now that little donkey's going to be untied. That little donkey, that donkey's mama, is going to be brought to Jesus. It was freedom There's freedom in being released. These donkeys saw a new road. They saw new grass. They saw new terrain. They saw a new master. Friend, listen to Galatians chapter 3, verses 24, 25, and 26. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith has come. We are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. See, I want you to know that if you've been saved this morning, you've been set free. We are no longer under the schoolmaster. We have, according to James chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, so speak and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We are no longer under the law of Moses. We are under the law of liberty. Freedom is being able to say no. Freedom is being able to say yes. So you that have been saved and set free, you have the liberty to forgive yourself. You have the liberty to forgive somebody else. You have the liberty to have no more fears. You have the liberty to not be afraid. You have that besetting sin that you and I struggle with, whatever it may be. You and I, we have the right to say no to that besetting sin and to say yes to Jesus. Why? Because we are free. Someone might say, well, then we have the freedom to sin. No, no, that isn't freedom. That's bondage. That's why when you sin, the world uses the phrase bad habit. A bad habit is something that has you. You don't have it. And I want you to know with Jesus, you have the right to be free. He looses you and sets you free. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. What an unpleasant thought. You and I that have besetting sins, we have the right to say no to them. We have the right to say yes to Jesus because we are free. But freedom isn't in sin. That's bondage. The dog goes back to its vomit because it's a dog. To me, that's disgusting. I promise you, I have never done that one time. I've never gone back to my vomit and say, well, I wonder if there's anything good in there. Never. You're like, that's disgusting. You're right, it's disgusting. And God wants it to be disgusting. And that's what sin is. A dog goes back to the vomit because that's what a dog does. A person that has been saved doesn't want to go back to the vomit. Why? Because he's a new creature. You and I went from a pup to a prince. We went from a canine to a king. You're royalty now. You have been set free. But freedom does not mean that you can do what you want. I think some people think that freedom means that you can do whatever you want, but that is not what this pictures. So I want you to see that the donkey pictures the redeemed. I also want you to see that the donkey is going to picture someone that's been released. If you're here today and you've been saved, you have been redeemed. Jesus has already paid the price, but you've not accepted that free gift of salvation. You haven't had that applied to your life, so you're still bound, you're still dead in your trespasses and sin. But Jesus wants to make you alive. You're still tied up to the hitch post of this world, but Jesus wants to set you free. I want you to know that you have the ability this morning through Jesus Christ to be bought back. You have the ability through Jesus Christ to be set freed if you're lost. I want you to know if you are saved, you have been redeemed. You have been bought back. And I want you to know that you have been set free. So why do we still keep ourselves close to the hitching post when there's a whole big world to explore? Because we're in and of ourselves sinners, saved by grace, but still sinners. We still have that old flesh that likes to go back to the vomit, like that dog likes to go back, like that fool likes to go back to his folly. But Jesus says, no, no. Why would you eat that when you can eat what's ahead of you? You know, I was thinking about that. It was donkeys. You know, I don't know that donkeys think well. I don't know much about donkeys. I know some of you are people that study animals, and you know all things about animals. I know very little about a donkey. I know that they're sure-footed. I know that they're stubborn, and that they're hard workers. That's all I could probably tell you about a donkey. And they're grayish. Maybe brownish, I don't even know. But those donkeys, if they had the capacity of to think like you and I think, which they don't, I wonder what they were thinking that day. Here they are staring at this post all the time, the little baby donkey looking at its mommy and says, Mommy, this is no fun. This is boring. I know, honey, but this is just our life. Two men show up. They didn't talk to the master. They just untied the donkeys. Well, this is new. Who are these people? I don't know, but let's follow them. The master does come out sooner or later, and the disciples look at him. I do not know. You know, God does not give us the story of what happened that night before. Whether that guy was sleeping in bed and an angel said, hey, by the way, Jesus is going to come and take your donkeys in the morning. You better not say anything about it. I don't know what happened, but the disciples said, the master hath need. Oh, okay, go ahead and take them. And that'd be like somebody, that'd be like you wake, that'd be like God coming to you tonight in a dream and say, Pastor Nathan's going to come and take your Mercedes out of the garage. Don't say anything. And I wake, and next morning, what are you doing? I'm taking the car. Oh, okay, have a good day. You're not getting it back. The master hath need of them. And he said, okay. So somewhere along the way, there was some revelation to him that God did not impart to us in Scripture. But I want you to know that these donkeys are like, we don't know what they were. So now these donkeys that were sitting at a hitch post is walking through an event that no other creature has ever walked through before or ever will walk through again. On the back of that little colt is Jesus walking into a triumphal entry. People are lining the streets, shouting, Hosanna, King of the Jews. Shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. These donkeys are seeing things. Can you imagine the little donkey stopping and there's a palm leaf. And now he's eating some palm leaves instead of eating whatever he was being fed down there. And he's eating some flowers that are thrown out into the streets. I mean, everything changed for these little donkeys. That's what Jesus wants to do for us. But I want you to know that they were redeemed and they were released. Why? Are you ready? Last R, to be ruled. Wait a second. I thought you just said they had freedom. To be ruled? That's not freedom. Oh, friend, that's freedom. That's freedom. Did you know rules keep you free? Because the rules that are out there for the street, speed limit, whether you like it or not, or abide by it or not, the rules of the road, do you know that those keep you free? What if I decided to wake up this morning and said, you know what? I feel British this morning. I'm going to drive on the left side of the road. Well, I have the freedom to do that until I get caught and then spend how many ever days in jail or die because that semi-truck's a little bit bigger than my Explorer. See, my freedom and your freedom have to be ruled, or my freedom could impinge on your freedom. That doesn't make you free at all. It makes you a slave. A dictator impinges on everybody's freedoms to do what he wants. But rules help us all be free. But these donkeys are getting a new ruler. They're getting a new master. And they're going to be ruled because now they're being led to Jesus. And Jesus is going to sit on this donkey that had never been, I mean, a new donkey. Never have been ridden. I don't think I've ever ridden a donkey. I don't think I've ever ridden a mule. I have ridden horses. I've never ridden a new horse. I did ride a horse one time at the Bill Rice Ranch. And I was just a little kid. I was at junior week. And the horse's name was Old Yeller. I remember that. It was huge. Of course, I was only that big, but it was huge. And I got on Old Yeller, and it's just trail horses. They just ride behind the horse in front of them, and we absolutely do nothing, or so I supposed. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, I'm going to be a little cowboy. So I had my little hat on, and I went, yee-haw! And I guessed, yee-haw in horse language is take off. Because that horse just went, boom! Oh, yeah. I wasn't riding. I was holding on for dear life. That cowboy came up, grabbed the reins, punched that horse in the nose, and said, get back in line. Right back it went. He punched a horse. I know. I'll get his name and address later. I don't know who it was. I'm just glad he stopped the horse. I was only 9. But, you know, this new colt had never been ridden on, and that's uncomfortable. That's a new experience for him. And he just submitted. You want to get somewhere in life? You that are saved and know Christ, that have been freed? Let Christ rule you. It might be a little uncomfortable, but just submit to his authority. Just submit to his, just give him the reins of your life. Let Jesus literally take the wheels of your life to steer it wherever he wants it. He knows where he's going. He knows where he wants you to go. And I promise you, when you get there, it's exactly where you want to be. It's interesting to me that Jesus, even in our freedom, is the ruler. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You and I have been freed from our old taskmaster to be released to the good master. Now, I suppose these donkeys could have gone off and eaten briar patches and could have gone off and wandered away, but I want you to know that they didn't. They ended up where they were supposed to be, and because of that, they experienced something that literally, are you ready? Literally, no other donkeys have ever experienced or ever will. Next time Jesus is riding something, he's riding a horse. Coming back. It's the last time Jesus rides an animal. It's these donkeys. This little colt in particular. This little colt that had been redeemed. This little colt that had been released. This little colt that now is ruled by the good master. Of course, we call this the triumphal entry. Jesus took those donkeys on a triumphant journey. That's what the Christian life is. Freedom from bondage to be free to life. Think about the children of Israel that were in bondage in Egypt, and finally they were free. Not to do what they wanted, but free to follow God. But in that freedom, they saw more than just the dust of Egypt. They saw the seas part. They saw manna from heaven, water gushing from a rock. The mighty protection of the hand of God, time and time again. Why? Because they were free. No longer slave, but a child of God. They went from being slaves in Egypt to being the children of Israel again. The best place is to be in the controlled atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, guided by the Lord and protected by the Father. Friend, God is to be our ruler. Is he yours? 3 lessons from 2 donkeys. Of course, these donkeys led him into Jerusalem. He went in triumphantly, died sacrificially, buried temporarily, came out victoriously. My friend, Jesus loves you and died for you and was buried for you. He went to hell for you so that he wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. And if you're lost, he has paid the price to redeem you. He's paid for your sin. If you're saved, he has set you free. Live it. And if you've been set free, let him rule you so you can be happy and end up where he wants you to be. And that is blessed. That is blessed. If you're here this morning, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted that free gift of salvation? Have you let that redeeming blood be applied to your life? You say, what do I do? Call on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. When the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart, and it's not some mystical, spooky thing. It can be, I suppose, but it doesn't have to be. You're like, you know, I do believe that Jesus is God, and I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I don't remember ever one time putting my faith and trust in Jesus. But I want to. Then do it. Be like Nike. Just do it. Jesus wants to save you. If you are saved, you've been set free from the hitch post of this world, why are you sitting there staring at the post still? I mean, we have so many things that just keep us, we keep going back to, like that dog, like a fool to its folly, like a dog to its vomit. We keep going back, and then when we go back, we're so disgusted with ourselves. We're so frustrated. It's because we're not living the free life. And we've been freed. We've been freed to be ruled. We're not letting Jesus rule us. We're living for ourselves, and we think that that's where happiness lies. We think that happiness lies in living for ourselves, but we've been given many examples over periods of time in our life that we realize true happiness lives is given to us when we live for others. There used to be a time where I enjoyed opening presents more than giving presents, but I've gotten to the point in my life where I'd much rather give you a present than get a present because there's more joy in giving than getting. Maybe that's because I've turned into a parent. But I love watching my kids open presents. I love giving things. You feel so good when you go over to a widow's house and you've done something for them. You've laid carpet or you fix some plumbing, or you walk out and they can't pay you. You walk out and you just feel happy inside. Why? Because you're free. You're serving others. The greatest rule, what? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might and thy neighbor as thyself. True love is loving Jesus and letting Jesus live through you to others. Hey, friend, I want you to know that's where happiness lies. But we think it lies in golf clubs or fishing boats or houses or overtime or whatever. And there might be some true happiness in some of that. I'm not saying there's not. If you got a bass boat and you're inviting people to go out there so that they can get away and you're providing them a place, and while you got them out there, you're teaching them about Christ. Hey, there could be some going on a golf course and talking to somebody, helping somebody out that's going through a tough time, and you're just sitting there spending time with it. That's giving. It's not about playing. I mean, there's things that you can do. I mean, those things aren't bad. But you've been freed. True happiness is going to come by letting Jesus rule you. He'll take you exactly where you want to be. I don't know where those donkeys end up. I don't know what happened to them. I suppose they're dead by now. I don't know what happened to them after this. Did they go back to the old man? I don't know. Did the disciples get to keep them? I don't know. But it wasn't necessary for us to know. All I know is their life was complete. Why? because they served the Master. History ended for them that day. What could get better than that? Nothing. If you're here today and don't know Christ, let him come into your heart. If you're saved, you and I, we don't have to be trapped to this world and the temptations and the lust thereof. We've been set free.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.